It's September 18th, 2009, and the goal I had in bringing a lot of the packaged good folks into Idle Thumbs 10 years ago was to take all the fun out of making podcasts.
And this is Idle Thumbs 43, and I'm Chris Remo.
And I'm Nick Brecken.
And I'm Bobby Kotick. Rodkin.
Old Bobby Rodkin.
That's what they call me.
Yep. Cool. So we're back. Sorry we're late this week. Nick and I were at, coincidentally, an Activision press event.
Yeah.
On Tuesday, so we're a little late. But we're back. Better than ever. We've been rebuilt.
I like that we both tried to have something to say about being an Activision event. Joke tells itself.
I don't know how much I want to say about that event. It might get ugly.
Really?
Whoa.
I thought you specifically had a bunch of things you wanted to say.
Well, yeah. We should talk about the game.
Yeah. But also, I mean, you know, maybe start...
You took all the fun out of events with that event, though.
Yeah, it's true. But the Bobby Kotick quote, that's some amazing material.
Yes,
here.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Nick, do you have the actual, like, because there's multiple amazing quotes here. Bobby Kotick was speaking at, like, Deutsche Bank conference or something.
Yep.
And just flat out, it's, you like, know.
Everything you thought might be true is true.
Yeah. Yeah, here's another choice quote. I think we've definitely been able to instill in the culture the skepticism and pessimism and fear that you should have in an economy like we're in today. And the hilarious thing about this quote is that we completely missed it. At this event, there were 150 game journalists packed into this small room watching this Activision press, you know, like the Modern Warfare 2 presentation. Every goddamn journalist missed this. At a point during that presentation, they were going over the custom classes. And three of the custom classes were pessimism, fear, and skepticism. And we missed that, but on the NeoGAF forums, somebody found that and captured it. How every goddamn person in that room, I mean, that basically proves how much we pay attention to those things.
Yeah. It's just how you mean the presentations they give?
Yeah.
God, that's amazing. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I feel stupid now. Yeah. I spoke to the lead character artist of Modern Warfare 2, and I asked him whether Bobby Kotick had successfully drained all the fun out of game development and Infinity Ward. And he looked really shocked. I think he actually might not have seen those quotes yet, because this event was pretty soon after the quotes were made, and it may not have spread out yet, because he was really taken aback. He was like, no, what?
He just thought you made that up.
I think he thought I was just, you know, sort of the assumed nature of Bobby Kotick that we were all talking about, as opposed to the, like, bald face. Like,
he said that 3 days ago. Right. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It's Infinity Ward is, like, the rebellious kid in the Activision family,
they really
apparently.
Are.
Like,
yeah.
Senior super douche came from them and this. So. Yeah.
Yep.
But not for long.
Yeah, Kotick's going to stamp that right out of them. It's amazing that it's like a mission of his. Yeah. Like, it's really important to me to make this a miserable, grueling place where everybody's unhappy and cynical.
Yeah.
I think that's the right way to go. I think it's really working out well, and sadly it seems to be. So,
I guess
everything's terrible.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
It's awful.
It really is the worst.
Ugh.
So, yeah.
So, that yeah. On
so,
that
man,
note.
The majesty well, of video games as an art.
Because, you talk about stuff like this, and it's like, you look at the way Kotick runs this company, I mean, just in terms of the evidence, not just his statements, and you look at all the 18 Guitar Hero games released every year, and you look at the way Tony Hawk just gets run into the ground, and, you know, you think, man, God, if he keeps running this company this way, people are going to start to get really cynical and depressed and not into their jobs. And it turns out that's not a side effect. That's fucking priority number one. That's like that's not an unintended consequence. That's like the goal.
Yep.
What the hell is that?
Yeah, that was step one.
Yeah, exactly. On the road to profit, that's the first part.
The actual game
make everyone miserable.
That.
Yeah. Jesus. So Modern Warfare 2.
Mm.
That game looks pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely... We played only the multiplayer at this event, so that's really all we can,
and only really
we can speak
part
to
of
there.
Multiplayer.
But I mean, we played a few modes.
Yeah.
Nothing
really new, though.
No, they didn't show any really new stuff. But, there's not that much to say about it, really, which is what was funny about there being such a huge event. There were 160...
Yeah, I was expecting a little, bit more of a tease, you know, big feature, large bolded bullet point.
Expecting to be wowed. I was expecting to be blown away.
Well, it's funny because the multiplayer designer gets up on stage for a presentation. Yeah. And he's like, all right, we did not want to take the typical sequel mentality here. We really wanted to do something really different and really go down a new path with Modern Warfare 2. And then and he loads it up. And then literally like two sentences later, he's just like, so we didn't want to stray too far from what we did before. We didn't want to do anything unfamiliar, really. We wanted to make sure people were grounded.
It was
pretty funny. It was as far as I can remember, it was the same guy, right?
Yeah.
It was literally he went up there, and you could like plot a parabola curve of.
Well, that's
the,
yeah. It was just if, like if, and if you looked at the wall behind him, you'd see the sort of fall off from a red blinking light, and that was when the Kodak chip was activated, like behind the curtain, or like you know the little radar dish comes out of the top of his head, and then
right. He's sort of a little shudder from a small electric shock.
We
made sure to keep it familiar.
Three major innovations. No, wait.
One.
It's got a two.
Yeah. It's the Kodak inhibitor. It just blocks the Kodak innovation center of your brain. It was really funny, though. One of the main features that they introduced was the custom call signs.
Oh, right.
Where you can customize your name or your prefix for your name, your little
title, your sort of rank, essentially.
Your title and your icon that is associated with your rank. And I was playing multiplayer, and the way they had it set up was that you were basically on all these stations, and then maybe I think it was 16 people throughout the room, just random, and we were all on headsets, and we're just chatting.
You just
over,
get paired
over
up,
headsets.
Get paired up with people.
Yeah. So I you can't really tell who was talking, but you were just hearing it over the headsets. And so clearly, though, like there were a lot of European press at this, and it was hilarious because at one point
they were making their own sound effects.
At one point it was really funny because like all of the Americans, I would say, were really into this game. They're like, oh man, this is so fucking badass. Oh jeez, did you just see that kill? This is so sweet.
It amazes me how good people are at this game. I mean, that's a stupid thing to say. There's every game there are people that are good at it, but it was shocking to me because this isn't a game that I play that much. I think it's a really good game, and when it came out I played it for a bit and I really liked it, but you know, I didn't play long enough to observe the like mutants who have like fused with the game, and I was definitely standing over the shoulder of one of those guys at this game.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, this guy might not do anything else in his life other than play Call of Duty 4 or Modern Warfare.
Yep.
Because he has fused with the AI, like, or the code. He's seeing the fucking Matrix. I don't know. It was surprising.
Yeah.
But yeah, those tended to be the American guys.
Yeah, and then the Europeans were like, I don't really get the point of having the custom call sign. Like, what? You can just, why would you want that? I mean, before it was automated, why would you want to
customize it? Like, sort of ambiently overhearing this.
And then the Americans like, well,
through,
I assume
through
that,
one ear, it's like, this is awesome.
This is fucking sweet, man. Can't you tell? Like, don't you see the features? Like, this is amazing. And they're like, I don't understand why this is so good. Like, what? It was kind of hilarious to hear the discord.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Good game.
It's a good fun game. It's really tough to say a lot about it because it really is, at least the stuff we saw, very, very similar to Call of Duty 4. But I guess it's worth restating just for the record in case anyone is wondering. It really is an incredibly, incredibly correct feeling game.
Yeah,
I mean, I think that's such an incredible.
Sharp.
It really is. Just every weapon feels so good. It feels, I mean, everything is tuned in the exact right way. And I was talking about Left 4 Dead 2 whenever we played that at PAX, and how I'm not accustomed to playing it on the controller, and I'm an idiot flailing around and looking all over the place. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that's the phrase, by the way.
The wobble clown. Yeah. That's Call of Duty 4. That's still a game that I played on PC, but I'll play Modern Warfare 2 on PC as well. But you know, it's a credit to Infinity Ward that when I sit down with a console controller on this game, I don't feel like that. I mean, the game is just so tuned.
Well, it feels like it was made by people who understand how to, you know, make console shooters very well.
Right.
Whereas Left 4 Dead feels like it was made by guys who, have made PC games very well for a long time and are still trying to figure out how to, you know, tweak the very sense. Also, I mean, the one thing that we were talking about before, though, was that, you know, in Left 4 Dead, you don't have that alternate zoom on every weapon where you can fine tune your aim just by snapping to just doing the light zoom on every weapon, which I think helps a lot when it comes to console shooters because
you can sort of flail
around a bit with the right stick and then you know, hone in on a guy.
The fine tuning now.
Yeah.
Right. It's exactly because you obviously it's an analog stick, so you can adjust how fast you're moving it, but not as finely as a mouse. But when you add in the zoom, you've got the kind of the toggle switch of sort of sensitivity almost. Yeah. And it really does make a huge difference. I really miss that in other games that don't have that feature. But yeah, Modern Warfare 2, it's really fun. I'm surprised they didn't show us more stuff because I really don't know what more to say about it that would be helpful to anybody. But, you know, it's fun. It's a good, fun game.
Yep.
I wish they would have shown us single player, I guess, but...
Yeah. That's probably why I'll play that game more than the multiplayer.
Yeah, same here.
The multiplayer to me, it's really good. It's great, but I don't know. It wears me down really quickly. It's so nonstop. Like it keeps you shooting guys like every second.
Right.
Like,
I mean, it's a great box quote. Sorry. It's so nonstop. It keeps you shooting guys every second.
Yeah.
Nick Brecken.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm Nick Breedon.
Anyway, we can move on.
No, but I know what you mean.
No, it does get that machine gun fatigue.
Right. Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
But you know,
and especially because of the instant responding you're saying and all,
it obviously works. It's because it's that marriage of kind of a very immediate deathmatch, you know, feeling with a mode that isn't deathmatch. You know, I mean, it's you're always engaged, but you're doing things that aren't deathmatch.
You're killing guys like every second.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sweet.
Yep.
Yes.
Sweet. Yeah. But it's but you know, obviously that's what a lot of people want, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I think that's why it's so enduringly popular.
Yeah. It is sort of astonishingly popular, actually. Yeah. It's pretty amazing. World of War didn't get quite that big, did it?
It got bigger than I thought it would. It was adopted pretty widely.
I didn't really play that one.
I mean, do you think... I've always sort of gotten the feeling that the falloff for World of War is compared to Call of Duty 4. Like,
I'm talking out of my ass, but I think they did a pretty good job with DLC for World at War. I mean, they're always, and the zombie maps were really popular. I think, Call of Duty 4 didn't have a whole lot of DLC. It wasn't publicized a lot, but World at War was, you know, is still being updated. So I think that probably helped its longevity. But, yeah.
Sweet. All right.
So there's that game.
Our extremely helpful new opinions on that game.
Kill dudes like every second.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't stop.
Insight.
Yeah. A whole bunch of stuff came out this week and I haven't played enough of it to really want to talk. Oh, you know what I did play? Thumbs. I did play finally played that Eidos game that everyone's talking about. Big new Eidos release. Mini Ninjas.
Oh, obviously. Man, I got that in the mail the other day too. It appeared and I was so sad. I mean, that was great. I was ready to play it. No,
sorry. Games discussed. Modern Warfare 2. Mini Ninjas.
Yeah. It's from IO too, the Hitman guys, which is hilarious.
Yeah, I know.
I played it for a couple hours on PC. It's not a bad game. It's the kind of game where if I were a parent, I would, you know, I'd give this to my child to play and
we're into Mini Ninjas.
Not, well, you know, like not feel like I was giving them just total horse shit. You know, I mean, it's nice and visually pleasing and fun
to
play.
It's a nice game for the kids.
It is. That is what it is.
So
though,
how,
you know?
How does a Mini Ninja work as a game? How do you play this game?
It's like a third person action, sort of slight stealth kind of platformer thing.
Mini stealth.
Yeah.
It's like a mini stealth.
Mini stealth,
ninja.
Mini action, mini adventure. Yeah.
Mini ninja.
Yeah.
It sounds like a DreamWorks title.
It really does. Yeah. Aliens versus monsters. Yeah, double header with mini ninjas.
G-Force,
double feature.
Ninjas. Yeah. I don't know.
How. Yeah, there's not much
mini
to say
babies.
About it. Mini babies. They're really, really small.
Imagine mini ninjas.
Yeah, imagine mini ninjas.
Imagine many ninjas also.
Yeah, that's different. You don't want your mini ninjas in the same room as your many ninjas. Get ugly really quickly.
I'm pretty sure that that's also a game, ninjas versus many ninjas versus many ninjas.
Yeah.
That's probably a cool thing to have.
Probably. it's a video game. I don't know. It's
we got to not talk about many ninjas for too much longer on this.
Right. Yeah, I'm pretty much done. I mean, it is a well-made game. It's you basically run around and fight a bunch of guys and the world looks nice and it's
what? Man, we're busting out the quotes today. We basically run around and kill a bunch of guys.
Well, it is a very straightforward game.
Oh, that's cool. So you kill guys as you're like a miniature ninja.
You're a miniaturized ninja. You're a child ninja.
What? It's underage ninja. Actually.
You are. You're a little kid. All your buddies are little kids, and your enemies are too. You fight mini samurai, little kid samurai.
Oh wow!
Yep. You kill them.
Well, you know, you attack them. It's like
reducing
Batman.
Reducing to 31 beats per second.
Speaking of Batman, it's fucking bullshit that Batman doesn't kill people. My ass, he doesn't kill people. I've been playing Batman Arkham Asylum finally, and he kills the shit out of a lot of dudes. He is snapping necks and dropping people off of buildings and punching guys in their spine and then leaving them to die.
Well, that's
those
not,
guys are dead.
That's not what he's supposed to do.
Well, it's what he's doing.
Well, they fucked him up. Batman, he's gone rogue. I guess that's his usual
thing. Well, he's not technically.
Well, you can scan them and you can see
he wasn't dead when I dropped him off the building.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
They've always got a 30 to 31 beats per minute heart rate that indicates they're unconscious but still alive.
Just like the heart rate of a giraffe or something. Right.
I mean, but they're paralyzed from the neck down and are falling and reaching terminal velocity when that happens.
The only time you kill people, to me, that doesn't seem like killing people is when you hang them, like string them up and hang them off a gargoyle, which is cool.
That's classic.
But you can only do that so many times in a room before you run out of gargoyles. Like, I filled a room with hanging off gargoyles or string. Yeah. Actually, I think Batman's actually okay on that front.
Yeah, he's got enough
string. He's got plenty of string, but there's only so many gargoyles in New York. Yeah.
Batman, well, inside Arkham Asylum. The asylum. I mean, it's...
Oh, right. That's right. There have just been a lot of additions to Arkham Asylum, where, like, you know, like, there's a house where they've got, like, a porch, an indoor porch, but you can see the old wall that used to be the outside of the house. You know, like, they've built, you know, they, you know, there's like, oh, what? Come on.
Oh, man.
You're just staring at me here, Chris.
I'm waiting for you to explain what you mean.
Waiting for you to make sense.
Man, sorry, there's a billion houses that work that way. I quit this podcast.
Well, anyway, Arkham Asylum takes place
the idea cracked me up that Arkham Asylum was originally just one reasonably small gothic building, and then someone said, okay, we gotta add a new...
The gargoyles are like the old...
Right, where it's we gotta add a dining wing.
Yeah,
so right.
So, like, you know, they just, okay, just brick it from the outside. What about these gargoyles? Just put some more on the other corners of this room.
What's funny though is that they're all facing inward. They're not even like that. It's really bizarre. They're basically just there for Batman to swing around and hang from and look cool. It is a really nice looking game.
It's a nice looking asylum.
It's a good asylum. I'm late to talking about this game, obviously, but I'm really enjoying it so far. Except for my exact same criticism I had of the demo, which is, it sucks that you basically have to kill everybody effectively.
So in the real game, you could not sneak under that grate and hit the switch?
Nope.
It frustrates me how often that happens. Although somebody said, you know, he's Batman. He should, you know, he's going around. He's got to take care of all those guys. Because what? I mean, they're bad guys. He's got to beat them up. Who else is going to beat him up?
The police.
Not them. No.
They're all hanging from things above poison gas, basically. It seems like every cop is in some form of immediate danger.
No, no. All the cops are either totally fine or dead.
Right,
this is what's weird about this game. All of the... There does not seem to have been one single guard or police member or whatever in this entire game who is capable of killing a single henchman. Every single police body you find is dead, not unconscious, and you never find already dead henchmen. At least not in the several hours I've played of the game. I mean, maybe that starts happening. It seems bizarre that they never succeeded a single... Because they have guns, and the henchmen don't start out with guns until they kill the police or whoever, the guards, whatever they, you know, whatever the hell they are, police, I guess. You know, not a single one of those guys with guns, like, as the henchmen are running down the halls, none of them were capable of shooting one of them, maybe. Batman literally has to kill, or, you know, incapacitate every single henchman in the entire complex.
That's how society degrades once we have superheroes. It's like an Alan Moore.
It is the commentary of Batman Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, so that's pretty deep.
Yeah. So I don't know. That aspect of the game irritates me because I do get really sick of just fighting a million guys. But
every second.
You just don't stop ever fighting guys. Accurate. But I do like all this. To be fair, there is a lot of stuff that isn't that is just kind of walking around and looking at things in detective mode, which I enjoy. And
did you wear a 60s Batman costume?
No, I haven't checked to see actually if there are mods for the full version yet. There probably are. I don't know. I haven't looked.
Install the nude patch?
I did do that. I did immediately check for that one. Oh man! By the way, you know the Adam West mod we were talking about?
Oh yeah.
There is like occasional unintentional that moment
in
the game.
What, like the 60s horn section?
No, not that. Just
unintentional. You know. Yeah.
How did that get in there? Yeah. Some European guy dubbed over all of the punches with his mouth.
Boo! Boo! Boo!
Yeah. Boo! 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 You know, as you're walking around, Batman will have a little internal monologue with himself when he's like, oh, this door's locked. I need to find another way through this door or whatever, all that kind of thing. And at one point, this is one of the funniest moments I've had in a video game recently. I rescued some scientist lady or doctor or whatever. Untie her from her chair and, you know, we're having a conversation. She's like, oh, is it true that the Joker killed, you know, took over the whole thing? And Batman's like, yeah, it's true. I got to go save everyone. And she's like, oh man, I can't believe this. You got to make sure you go help. And in the middle of her big thing, I just start walking away, which triggers Batman's like internal monologue. And he just like completely tunes her out and just goes, I've got to find a way out of this room. And it's just completely like, fuck you. Who cares? I've got things to think about. And it really did remind me of like the sort of modern ironic version of Adam West playing himself and just completely wallpapering over like everything.
Reality is deleted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It was hysterical.
If only Adam West was saying it.
I know. The voice is not even that far from, you know, the guy. What is the guy? Roy Conrad or something. I don't know.
Roy Conrad is the guy who played Ben in Full Throttle.
Oh, right. Doesn't this guy's name have one of those two names in it?
It's Kevin Conrad.
Kevin Conrad. Yeah.
Oh, it's his brother. Oh,
okay. And I mean,
also, I know who plays Ben in Full Throttle.
Yeah, I know. But the the voice acting is pretty good overall in this game. I actually really like all of the Mark Hamill Joker stuff. I've only seen some of the Batman animated series, so I'm not as familiar with it as some people are. I've seen a few episodes, but he does a great job in this game, and the actual Joker writing
voice actor
is really good.
Yes, he is. Yeah,
like Joker's got a lot of just really good. He's constantly broadcasting. Just sort of taunting messages both to Batman and to his billion henchmen all over the place. Right. And there's a lot of it's really cleverly written. Yeah, it's a
I
nice
like that
change.
Stuff a lot.
Yeah.
In contrast to the audio logs, which I could care less about.
Yeah.
I'm starting to really hate that. Like every audio game logs having audio logs. Yeah, you know what it is?
But it's just like Bioshock Batman edition.
I guess
Batshock. Or Biobat.
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 Bioman. Yeah.
Biodome. The game.
Biodome. Arkham Asylum.
Anyway.
So it's the Pauly Shore skin.
Wait, what were you going to say, Nick, in contrast to audio logs? You don't like them?
Yeah, in contrast to Biodome?
Yeah, I don't know. They're always so involved. I mean, like, especially in this game, it's somebody talking to somebody else and having, like, a conversation and like, interrogating, like, Edward Nygma or whatever. And it's just, there's always so much going on, and I'm also playing the game. And I either completely tune that out or I have to sort of stop and listen. Like, I can't do both at the same time and get, you know, and fully enjoy either of them.
Are there any games where there are audio log style things that are accessory content where it's just like everyone in the world of Doom 3 or everyone in Arkham Asylum or everyone in Rapture just for some reason all have personal audio recorders, but there isn't one you can pick up that has music, or like you can't listen to like a 5-part episode of The Phantom or something?
Well,
like
in
that.
This one, what you do is the reason these ones exist is because they're
psychological interviews
that they deliberately recorded, and there is like a series of them. I don't think there are any that are what you describe exactly, but that'd be pretty sweet.
I would enjoy that a lot.
If it wasn't just
pick up one and just get some diegetic music that you can turn on at your
Metal Gear Solid 4 kind of had that, but it was sort of slightly it wasn't really diegetic. I mean, it was just kind of one of those weird collectible, like, Kojima things.
Right.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the iPod.
With the iPod,
thing.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that is, just from an atmosphere standpoint, I mean, that's one of the things that I like about the audio things, is that, or about audio logs, is you play them and you imagine your guy walking around is in this crazy abandoned room with the sort of echoing tape of something, you know, echoing off the walls, like, listening to, like the reel-to-reel in Evil Dead 2 or something like that.
Right.
Yeah. The idea of someone just walking around like... like, playing off of a thing,
I mean,
while blowing
Fallout,
away guys.
Fallout 3 basically has that. As,
yeah.
as you find the radio stations and you, you know, tune into this old-timey music
that, but
and
it's
stuff.
Not, yeah, it's not really
It's not the same thing, but it's I really liked
okay,
that.
But,
I did
but
like
Fallout
that,
3 has something where you can just sort of pick up audio content that isn't just...
Yeah, well, you've got a radio and you tune into signals as you come in.
I should play that game. I should play Fallout 3.
It's a really good game.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm stupid.
Yep. Also full of slow motion fatalities, just like Batman every 2 seconds. Although
You actually kill people in Fallout.
Well, yeah, but it's also, I think, more obnoxious in Fallout. I got really, really tired of the slow-mo vats in Fallout 3 after a while. Because you basically do them like every shot. Like at least Batman caps them off, you know, with a, like when you actually clear the room or when you kill the guy or, you know, incapacitate him or whatever.
That's when Batman decides that he's going to take this one in slow-mo.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Go in slow-mo.
Look at this. Yeah. I'm Batman.
Hey, guys, check this out.
Yeah. Zooms out a bit. It's just Bruce Wayne like moving his fists in slow motion.
Right. Commissioner Gordon's just sort of sitting over there, like tapping his foot, looking at his watch.
Yeah.
Christ, Batman!
This is awesome. Making the sounds myself.
Oh man, it's like Did you guys see the video that I linked on Twitter earlier this week of the guy like defending his car from a million attackers?
No,
you see this, Nick? Oh my God!
First video.
I don't know if it's pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
I don't know if it can be described, but it's just a guy.
We'll link it in the downloadable content thread.
Yeah,
it's about games.
It's just a guy basically like showing you how to defend yourself from someone who's attacking you as you get into your car, and he just has a friend or whatever pretend to like assault him as he's getting into his car, and he just constantly beats him off. Like, oh, that sounded bad.
Whoa!
He constantly, you know, fends this guy off and makes like fist punching, like, oh my God. So maybe Batman is that.
Speaking of amazing, huge dudes, should we talk about Resident Evil 5 for a second?
This might not be news to anybody, but I, Nick has a copy of Resident Evil 5 on PC that I think are going to give away somehow.
Yeah.
When we can figure out how. And so before we did that, I wanted to make sure that the PC version was actually...
Not shit.
Was actually not shit. Yeah, I wanted to make sure it was worth recommending and giving away. So I loaded it up and it's a good port. It ran quite well. It looks really nice.
It looks really good, yeah.
Looks extremely nice. And
looks amazing.
Oh my God. And I just for the hell of it, I decided, well, I'll try to just join someone's co-op game. That would be funny. Just as for some reason, I wanted to see if the networking was all good. And so
we found the best fucking guy.
Yeah, I just chose a guy at random from the list, or like the server list.
And it was Jesse Ventura from Predator, basically.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, this might not be surprising to people, but none of us had ever seen this before.
Like maybe if you get really far in RE5, this is a thing.
Well, I mean, they've done this in other Resident Evil games where there's the last weapon is always a crazy thing with infinite ammo.
Right.
But in this game, so they've taken it to the next level.
And so I chose this guy because he was the only one on the list who was actually on like level 1 stage 1 or whatever. Everyone else was just somewhere in the middle of the game. And so I loaded up this guy's game and I go in and this guy is wearing like a fucking refrigerator on his back and has a huge minigun.
Well, yeah, it's a refrigerator on his back with 3 feet of a bullet belt hanging out that's sort of just dangling behind him at all times, whipping around like a ponytail of bullets.
And he's got like, he's wearing no shirt and he has like crossed leather studded
shoulder pads.
Like
bandoliers and like spiky shoulder pads.
Yeah.
And sunglasses.
Right, the sunglasses were good.
and a gun like as big as your character.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh my God. And this guy was just... I don't even know how to describe this.
Destroying the game.
It was like anyone who's played Diablo 2, when you join a Diablo 2 game after that game had been out for a few years and you start up as level 1, you're like, yeah, Diablo 2, I'm going to play through this game again.
Right.
And then you join the game with the guy who's like level 89 and he just parties up with you and then he just goes and kills like every boss in 3 seconds flat as your experience just skyrockets.
Right.
This was like the Resident Evil 4 or 5 equivalent of that, where every time I looked around the corner, that guy was just mowing down like hordes of zombies with infinite ammo.
You're having so much trouble just catching up with that guy. You go into a room and there's just like 4 pools of blood, and then he's slicing all the crates open and just looting everything, and then just kicks down the next door, turns around, looks at you for a second, and then just
like runs away
to blow, and you hear the sounds of man.
He and then like bosses that normally take like 5 minutes to take down are immediately shredded into pulp.
What's going on? I can't see the screen. What's happening? Boss killed. What? And then he just walked over and goes and gives you health and then walks into the room
and then walks away.
On his way. Yeah. She doesn't even stop basically.
Passing by. There you go. We captured some video of this because it was too amazing to see or to not share.
Yeah. Hopefully
we can release
this. This is a surprise to some of you still because this was the funniest goddamn thing I've ever seen in a video game. Yeah. It was amazing.
The number of times that you would sort of come around an alley and it was like you compared it to like the G-Man basically, where it's like you're playing your own game of Resident Evil 5 but in an abandoned city.
Right.
And every time you go around the corner, you just see a refrigerator with a bullet belt trailing off. It's sort of bouncing away around the next corner. And then you just occasionally hear a guy being totally eviscerated.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Like, we were watching a cutscene that we forgot to skip. Then you pressed escape, and the character in the cutscene who was attacking us in the cutscene had already been... Like, we watched the final bullet go into the person's brain. Like, the guy... Yeah. Before we could watch the intro cutscene, the guy had eviscerated this mini-boss character.
Right.
Just like, what?
And then the crazy, like... weird, like, amorphous blob sort of writhing tentacle boss.
Right, that you normally have to
lure into a furnace room. And this guy just stood perfectly still and just planted his feet on the ground and just unloaded into this boss's first face equivalent as it just, like, surrounded him and enveloped him. And then a few seconds later, it just fell over and died.
Yeah. My favorite moments were when he would sort of... You know, maybe walk past one enemy, like just a normal zombie that was there, and then he would turn and just sort of wait for you to, like, you know, casually, I'll give you this one. It's not really worth my time. You know, go ahead.
Yeah.
I'll wait.
My kill counts at the end of the level, I had like 3 and he had like 86.
It was 1, actually.
Well, in level 2, it was 1. Yeah.
1.
In level 1, I was actually going for it because I was trying to play the game for real.
You're trying to get 3.
In level 2, I was just like, fuck it. It's way funnier to just follow this guy like 20 paces behind and watch him disappear around corners. And then I go around the corner and everything's dead.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. And watching him bend over to pick up all the little ammo
incredibly fast animation. Flapping around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, hilarious. So try and play RE5 co-op with the most amazing people in the world. And it's way more fun than regular Resident Evil 5.
Yeah.
Also, this guy's name is Warhammer something something something. So if you see that guy...
The name's Warhammer.
Something, something. Numbers, probably.
06.
So we have a copy of this game to give away if anyone still hasn't played it on another system and wants to play it on
PC. We don't know why we should give it away.
Yeah. We have one to give away. So.
We do.
We can do that somehow.
Maybe we should discuss it during the break.
Yeah. Are we already ready for a break?
Which we are taking right now.
All
right.
Oh. We'll be back in a sec.
Video.
Well, let's talk about Beatles Rock Band.
Let's do it.
Two.
The Beatles 2.
The Beatles 2.
Rock Band.
Rock Band. 2.
Yeah, I basically only really want to play this game right now.
Beatles Rock Band?
Yeah. Well, because I don't...
Are you SingStar Beatles Rock Band?
Beatles Aerosmith Band. I don't buy these, Guitar Hero or...
The rhythm games.
Those wacky rhythm games. I've only really bought, like, Guitar Hero 1, Rock Band 1... And then I owned Rock Band 2, but I didn't really play it very much. And so now I'm playing Beatles Rock Band, and like by the time I get one of these, it's always been long enough since the previous one that I basically just don't want to play other games for that period of time.
Right.
I just want to keep playing that one. And I'm definitely in that phase with Beatles Rock Band right now. And I have all this other shit I could be doing. I've got Batman, which I have played a few hours of. I've got the Novant Falcon, which is fun, and I've got all these other games that just came out. And I pretty much, as long as it's not at a time of day that's going to you know, like the middle of the night where I'm just going to immediately infuriate people.
Or Zuma.
Or Zuma. I pretty much just want to play Beatles Rock Band.
Sorry.
Well, yeah, I played Zuma mainly when I was actually at the hotel for the press event yesterday. Ooh. So I can talk about that if you want.
We can talk about the Beatles for a second.
Okay.
Is there anything to talk about that we didn't already spoil during the break and waste? Yeah.
I bought
that
Gretsch guitar.
Oh, how is it? The expensive one? Really the $100 good. One?
I'm really glad I bought it.
Is it? What is the? Was that the? Is that the $100 one?
Yeah, it's $100.
Jesus, is it worth $100?
So wait, you've got that, and you've got the Ion Drum Rocker.
I do. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man,
it's sad.
What's so good really about? Good. What's so good about the Gretsch?
It's just constructed really nicely. It also it has all the, you know, Rock Band 2 guitar features, which I have never used before because I had the original Rock Band guitar, which kind of sucked. But this one has a really nice strum bar, and it also does the auto sync thing, which is amazing.
The calibration,
the calibration. I've had so many problems with calibration, and to fix that instantly with the
that's pretty amazing
with the auto thing.
Yeah, the regular
really
Guitar
nice.
Hero 2 guitar does that though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I skipped that generation of guitars.
Yeah, me too.
I skipped straight to the $100 one.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm still using the. I have, you know, Guitar Hero 1 PS2 guitars in my closet, and then I have guitar, like, Rock Band
yeah,
1
I know, yeah.
guitars. So I've kind of got the worst of every, of right. each generation, and I'm still using the Rock Band 1 guitars. They are not that good, but
yeah.
You're making me consider spending
really
$100
nice.
On
it
a worthless
really
fucking
nice.
Thing.
It
on a video game peripheral.
Another fucking thing. Like, I need more.
It does convert into a Tony Hawk skateboard, though.
Oh, sweet.
So
you won't be playing that game with a controller in your hand. Maybe you will be in this case because you're using a guitar.
Yeah, Beatles Rock Band. Yeah, actually, I think I said this last week, but I really didn't ever play any Guitar Hero or Rock Band games ever, except like two times when I
got parties and stuff.
Yeah, when I was annoyed that I was the second person stuck playing Iron Man for the 80th time. That was basically the last time I ever played that stuff. And yeah, so I understand now why everyone likes these rhythm games that the kids are talking about. Yeah, also, as I was saying during the break, Beatles Rock Band is the first thing that's ever convinced me to, like, sing since elementary school, probably.
Nice.
And it reminded me that I can't. yep. So
yeah. I get about four songs. If I'm singing, I get about four songs in, and my voice just starts to completely crack and just disintegrate. And I keep trying to push it because I'm like having so much fun.
Yep. Right.
And I get to the point where I'm like,
yep.
It just turns into just nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah. It's goddamn fun, even if it's the most embarrassing thing in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really good.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a stupid thing to say in about 5 years too late, but I really enjoy when in this game. Like, I've been playing the bass a lot because I'm both a baby and really like the bass lines. I still suck balls at these games. But it's extraordinarily fun once you know what you're doing and your brain starts treating it like a thing that is not a video game. I don't know if that holds true for everyone in the world, but I don't know.
You know what's weird about it actually?
It feels like an instrument even if it's not, like in a weird sort of nebulous way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the point, is to sort of create the sensation.
Right,
of,
but I mean, like, I also haven't... I haven't actually actively played an instrument either, probably since high school or, like, sophomore year of college, which was a while ago at this point.
Yeah.
And it reminded me that I should, unlike singing.
Right.
like, oh, I remember the feeling of doing things and then music occurs.
Right.
I can't do that anymore either. I'm a worthless human being.
The other thing about this game is that it actually, from just a... programming standpoint, is a step up from Rock Band 2. I went back and played Rock Band 2 the other day, and just like the store is just a lot smoother. Like, you can't download something in the background in Rock Band 2. You have to wait for it to finish, but on Beatles it just does that automatically, and you can, you know, leave. And just, there are a lot of like usability things that they've sort of, you know, very quietly upgraded in Beatles that when you go back and play Rock Band 2, it's kind of noticeable.
Yeah. That's cool.
So yeah.
Well, it's a really good game. Jinx.
Oh,
man, you owe me a beer.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
You didn't have that?
No.
All right.
It was a Coke, usually.
Yeah, well, either way.
Yeah, that's a
you
weird
owe me
school
something.
You were you attended. You owe me a beer.
Like, you owe me
second
a
grade.
Shot.
Yeah, well, whatever, you know. In Jake's elementary school, they had a choir, and in mine, we did other things, I guess.
Oh, no, the choir wasn't part of my school.
Oh, okay. Jake just nodded suggestively. I don't know what that was supposed to mean. I wouldn't call that school. What?
Yeah.
Anyway, so, Beatles Rock Band is pretty fun.
Yeah. So you were revenged by Azuma?
Oh, God. Yeah, Azuma had its revenge on me. Mm-hmm.
You were some sort of stone frog.
Yep. So I played... I don't know if I've ever talked about it really on this podcast.
Mouth, whatever it is.
But it's a PopCap puzzle game. It's, you know, shoot balls into other balls and they all explode and then it's fun and you get points for it. And the first Azuma I actually played a lot of. I played this game basically on and off for about 2 years. Until I completed it, essentially. It got pretty hard towards the later levels, which is why it took me that long. I've sort of just played it, you know, I'd go a few months, I wouldn't play it, I'd come back, I'd, you know, play, get through a few more levels, I'd go back. It was a very sort of...
Azuma is kind of actually really good. Azuma made me the horrible person who every time I got a new cell phone for a few years, I would just rebuy Azuma.
Oh, really?
Because cell phone software is terrible and I'm a terrible person, but it's... Anyway, sorry. I've never confessed my love of Azuma before. That said, I would never spend 2 years on the last level of the game.
Yeah, well, it wasn't exactly that. It was the way that it works is it's checkpoint-based, so, you know, you'd have to play through a bunch of it to, like, get through.
Right, okay.
And then I would get to different points, and then I'd eventually die somewhere in the... It wasn't, like, one specific stage. It was just... I would always lose my lives by the end of that thing. Actually, what was frustrating is the way I would play Azuma for a while was if I... lost any lives, a lot of times I would just start the entire world over.
Right, where it's just, if you're not... Well, sometimes you end up getting into that mode, especially with casual games like that, where it's just... You need the fucking perfect run because you know you're going to get destroyed three levels in. So it's just, oh, nope, stop, reset.
Right.
Reset.
And then, but then I realized when I finally beat the game that that the fucking level that I kept restarting on when I lost was like the second to last one. And like when I eventually just kept going, yeah, I was eventually able to beat it after a few tries. But, so that was idiotic of me. But, anyway, Azuma. So Azuma 2 came out. I beat this Azuma 1 finally, like probably about a month ago. And it was, you know, that was right when PopCap was saying, oh, new Azuma is coming out. And it was like, oh man, all right, great. I'm all set for that. And it turns out it's been incredibly disappointing. Like, it's been a really just amazingly rote experience. Like, you start off and...
So it's like a level pack?
It's sort of like a level pack, yeah. They redid all of the graphics, though. Like, it's extremely high res now. I mean, you load it up, and your first impression is, wow, this looks really nice.
The density is higher.
The super dense, yeah. You know, I run it.
The definition, I guess, is also
good. Lots of P's going on there. And so, you know, I load it up at 1920 by 1200. Really great. Looks really nice. It's all colorful. It's way more intricate than before. And it was actually, this is really stupid, but it was actually extremely... God, okay. So this ties into the gaming fears thing. Remember when the guy wrote in that email, whenever it was, 2 weeks ago or a week?
Was it like too much realism? You couldn't handle it?
No, it was... All right, so basically, I had played Azuma 1 so much for such a long period of time that was like the equivalent of my... Like, what do you call that babies have? Like, because I'm a baby.
Like a security blanket?
Yeah, the security blanket. I was not aware of this until Azuma 2... I had, like, a really strong connection, I guess, with all of the very specific, like, colors and patterns and shapes and everything of the balls. Because when it was fucking weird. I've never had this sensation before in playing a game. I loaded up Azuma's Revenge, and all of the...
It got its revenge, apparently.
It had its fucking revenge. It freaked me out. I'm like, oh, this isn't what I know. This isn't what I'm comfortable with.
This isn't my Azuma.
Yeah. It was... It seriously felt...
You were like, the stranded kid in the shopping center at that point?
Yeah. Like, that's exactly what it was like. It was it was fucking surreal. It was bizarre that I would have that reaction. It was so alien to me. Like, it's for being the exact same game. Like, for being a game where almost...
But it came back wrong, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. It was like the weird, like, you know, your
it's like the dark
your
world.
Your lover dies, and then the mad scientist brings her back as, like, a crazy Frankenstein, like, reanimated corpse. And, don't you love me anymore? It's like, oh, God! No! Get away from me! Holy shit!
Launching balls out of the frog right. mouth. Like, it is the fastest. Get away! Go! Bop, 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 bop.
Yeah. It was basically that. It freaked me out. And then, to make matters worse, you know, like, an hour in, when I finally just fucking got over it and just got used to it and just started.
Then it's like Zuma Classic.
Then
no.
Then it was basically just like the least interesting sequel ever. It was
so
just
it was
like
intriguing only because of your fear.
Yeah, exactly. And then you know now I played through 56 levels in a row without losing a single life for one thing. So it felt like just the longest like warm up phase ever.
Mastered your fears.
Yeah, I thought that, but I really think if I went back to Zuma 1, I don't think I'd be able to play 56 goddamn levels without dying. I still don't think
I would. Senses are heightened.
No, but I mean, I'm saying if I actually went back to Zuma 1, I don't think, I think it would, the hard parts would still be hard. Because I never got to the point in Zuma 1 where I could just blaze through the entire game on one life.
Right.
But it's, and yeah. then, and even the, so there are a couple new things. There's like linear track rather than spinning around radially, and that's kind of interesting occasionally, I guess. And there's boss battles, some of which are sort of fun, but they're kind of like, you know.
But adding, it's Zuma.
It's Zuma. Yeah, it's such a like not what you're doing actually 95% of the time, and it just it ends up being such a basic exercise in just tacking one on and calling it a sequel that it actually really was extremely disappointing. I don't really know what I should have expected, but I've never actually played a direct sequel to like a.
I was sort of hoping that they would turn it into like Space Harrier.
Yeah, see, I don't know. I don't know what I was expecting. I don't know if I can criticize them for this or not, because it's like, what else would they do other than just do the right. same game again? But I don't know. I mean, I guess the answer to that
one
is,
thing is yeah. oh, the answer to that is well, no, we'll change the subject.
I was just going to say the answer to that is just basically I don't know because I didn't think about it. Like, you know what I mean? Right. I didn't think about what I wanted the sequel to be at all, and it turns out it's just here's some more levels.
Well, that frog is the chosen one
for being $20. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, just when you were talking about perfectionism and playing a level over and over again, that yeah. reminded me of Trials HD.
Oh, yeah. God, and that game.
My favorite fucking thing about that game, and someone pointed this out on the Out of Thumbs forums as well, is that game has instant restart and instant checkpoint return. Oh, so good. You don't have to go to the menu and choose restart. You just...
Yeah.
Where you just hit Y or whatever, and your guy just snaps back.
Although when you go
level.
Back to the checkpoint, your timer still keeps going.
Yeah, 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 so. I know. But I mean, if you just want to sort of scope out the level yeah, the first yeah, time yeah, through, yeah. but also just rebooting it, it's the fact that is so quick makes that game just. I mean, like this. Now I'm going to drift into horrible mode. But when I'm playing something like Peggle or Zuma,
yeah.
I always wish that that button was.
Oh
there.
Yeah,
any,
same
any
here.
Game.
I basically wish that with anything that's round based.
Any sort of yeah, ever. Any round based or yeah. sort of like real time puzzle
point,
stuff
point based,
where you just
yeah.
want to you just want button that just goes boom yeah. and just snaps you right back yeah. to start. And the fact that Trials has that makes that plus the competing against your friends real-time leaderboard that's always running at the top of the screen on the
right.
Xbox One. I don't know if the PC one has
that.
The PC
one's the same thing, yeah.
Oh,
it has it through
Steam. That game just fucking drives you to just never finish a level until you're confident that you're
right.
going to have a perfect
yeah.
run.
Oh,
God,
yeah.
That's
God,
what Beatles
damn.
Rock Band for me is like. But the only person I know who has this game on my friends list is Nick. And so I'm pretty sure I've beat like every single one of your records on everything, certainly on drums
really?
Anyway.
Now you're going to drive me to play it.
Well, I don't know. I've been mainly doing drums, so I
oh,
can't
okay.
speak
I
for guitar or bass. But yeah. I think you've done basically
guitar.
No bass because I didn't see you on any of those.
Really?
Oh, also drums are
but drums,
hard.
Yeah, I've kicked your ass on everything on the drums.
Wow.
In case you're wondering.
You're a drummer.
yeah.
Yeah.
It's I really wonder how this game is selling because... I mean, I guess it's selling well,
it's, I
but
guess
like
it's exceeding expectations
when you can be like
the
my mom really wants Beatles Rock Band.
Really?
I
Does
actually
she have
really
a
system
bad.
That's capable
I just
of
bought
it?
My mom Beatles Rock Band for her birthday.
My brother has an Xbox 360.
And she already owns a PS3.
Really?
So, yeah.
Wow. You yeah. guys, your parents are very different than my parents.
No, my brother owns a 360, but my mom was like, I really also I want to get Wii Fit. Do you have to buy that separately from the Wii? Do you have to buy Beatles Rock Band separately from the
nice.
Wii? Because I really want Beatles
well,
Rock Band.
Bobby Kotick has her in mind.
Oh, man. Oh, ah, I'll bring it next week. You know how Bobby Kotick, and also he was talking about splitting Guitar Hero off from platforms and just
That's
making.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. 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 Sorry, but you just alluded to it without explaining
oh,
it. But
sorry.
That was
yeah.
in that same thing where he's talking about making everything terrible. He also said that Guitar Hero was potentially going to become a standalone platform independent of consoles.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, and I was thinking to myself, how is that going to be? And then someone at Telltale has, like, a little red plastic guitar that he got out of a box of Golden Grahams that is Guitar Hero branded, and I have to bring it in so we can take some pictures of it and record some sweet riffs
Is it like the saxaboom? Like what?
It's a little plastic guitar with a little like strum button and then a red, yellow, and green button at the top. And when you press the strum bar, it just goes, wow! And it's, oh man. So
that's
pretty much Bobby Kotick already achieved his goal.
I thought there was Guitar Hero cereal.
It's a toy guitar of a toy guitar. It's not even a like toy real guitar.
No, it's a toy guitar of Guitar Hero. It's like a red, shitty ripoff of a flying V.
That's hilarious.
Anyway. I wish I had brought it in so that I could record some sounds. But so I think that we found, though, I think that, that they've actually sort of been seeding.
Kotick has succeeded, yeah.
Well, yeah, just the, sort of in the tradition of Guitar Hero Fruit Rolls.
Right.
Sort of the soft launch, no marketing. They've also got the standalone Guitar Hero platform appearing in General Mills cereal boxes. sort of a soft launch.
Right.
So get ready for that.
Sweet.
It didn't seem to support DLC.
Hmm. Well, that's step two. I think he mentioned that.
Oh, okay.
That was what confused me about that statement.
You'll notice a mysterious port on your Golden Grahams guitar.
But I love the idea that I don't know, Kotick just doesn't... He doesn't want anyone else to have any dollars at all.
Right.
And, like, it's just completely... Just we, you know, there was someone who was making money off of this and it wasn't me. And that had to be put right.
Yes!
Oh, man, did we find it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Nick has loaded up a video.
Can
this
you
is totally
play that
pointless.
Into the mic really quick?
Nice.
Anyway, so yeah, that's the Golden Grahams guitar.
Wow. Sweet. Only in Canada, apparently.
Only in Canada. Yeah. It's like the Beyond Good and Evil cheese.
Yeah, exactly, right.
Oh, man, there was apparently Salmon Max pudding available in Germany.
What? What the hell is with all these weird, like, okay. So we got Golden Grahams guitars, Beyond Good and Evil cheese, and Salmon Max pudding.
Yep.
Wow.
You could have a full, part of this balanced, horrible meal.
Yeah, right.
Also, you have to eat Golden Grahams cheese and pudding.
That just sounds, I don't know, it sounds like a pretty normal day for me. I mean... Did Salmon Max actually come with the pudding, or was it just branded pudding?
No, it was just pudding that had like Salmon Max box art on it and said Salmon Max.
That's amazing that the brand there is strong enough that they can be their own tie-in and not have the game be the... You know what I mean? Like, Salmon Max in the United States would not be strong enough to do that. You'd need to actually include the game itself and say, these are these characters you're learning about.
It was
just pudding
that was like
Salmon Max.
But for
Salmon Max to sell pudding?
It was Salmon Max Season 1 pudding.
Wow, that's really weird.
Really? Yeah, Joe Wood was... They were crazy about Salmon Max, apparently. Like, yeah.
Goddamn.
Yeah,
all right.
Anyway.
Did you have any of that? Do you have any of the German Salmon
Max
pudding?
I wish that I had Salmon Max pudding. I only have pictures of it.
Oh. Oh, well. Well, that's pretty good.
But I bet it was delicious.
Yeah. Man, speaking of Beyond Good and Evil, actually...
pudding.
And pudding. And cheese. I don't know if this is a comparison that other people will find valid, but I... Batman kind of reminds me of Beyond Good and Evil in a way, in that, I'm not a fan of having to kill every goddamn guy ever, but I do like how the game is kind of a low level pastiche of a bunch of different genres in a way that is fairly low in complexity. I mean, you've got your sort of basic stealth game in there that allows you to fairly easily be really competent at being a stealthy Batman. You've got your action game,
a
stealthy Batman, which you can basically play as a button masher, but which is incredibly fluid and incredibly well designed. You've got your almost vaguely Metroid-esque, like hub-based explorable world as you get more items and can surpass new obstacles. You've got all these disparate elements that usually don't coexist, all really smoothly integrated into one game, in a way that doesn't really require you to be an expert at any of them. Which is what I really liked about Beyond Good and Evil. I thought that game was just a really nice fusion of all those kind of things. Some of the same things and some different things, obviously. But I like that about it. I think it's kind of a cool area of game design. Like, if you're going to make a game that isn't really that difficult or, you know, isn't very complex.
Right. At least make it do a bunch of different stuff.
Exactly. Like,
you
can balance
that
out with interesting design.
When you play on hard... Because they're simple elements, the way that they increase the difficulty is just, this guy kills you in 3 hits.
Oh, okay.
And,
are you playing on a hard?
Yeah.
I'm just playing it on normal.
It's pretty dumb.
That's too bad.
I'm going to restart and play on normal.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like
no
a game
dynamic
that you'd
difficulty?
Be playing on hard to me.
No, it's yeah. Anyway.
it definitely does feel to me like a sort of normal game in that,
yeah, you're
you know,
supposed
like
to just coast through it.
It's,
and,
yeah,
and
I mean, it is that kind of game where you just
Batman.
Kind of, you
yeah.
are being Batman for a while. Yeah. But I think they are, have been pretty successful with that.
You were going to talk about something at some point, and then I stomped on your seg.
Oh, no. I've just been sitting here like...
You're talking about like the iPhone thing or something?
Yeah, yeah. I was sort of marveling. I hadn't actually looked at some of these. Gameloft has gone kind of crazy. I don't know. Have you guys seen this stuff?
Not
I mean,
really.
They've always...
I saw
who was Gameloft before they were crazy?
Well, they've been doing the same thing. I mean, they're a cell phone game company.
Okay.
Yeah.
I saw their hilarious complete Halo ripoff game on iPhone.
Oh, yeah.
It basically is
called
Halo.
Nova.
Yeah.
It is Halo, right down to UI elements.
It's the most brazen ripoff. Anyone who thinks Halo... I mean, Halo does have a lot of generic elements to it, but anyone who thinks Halo is just a sort of generally generic game, all you need to do is look at this game to be like, oh, I guess Halo is... Like,
but
it
is specific things about
style.
Halo, actually. Yeah.
As demonstrated by these guys ripping all those things off.
In addition to that, though,
like no other thing except Halo.
Like, it's not. They're not. I mean, okay. There's that. There's Nova, and then they also have Modern Combat Sandstorm, which is essentially Modern Warfare. Blades of Fury, which looks like identical to Soul Calibur. Gangstar West Coast Hustle, which is GTA. I mean,
Zumar.
I'll load up one of these. Guitar Rock Hero.
Guitar Rock Hero.
Which looks exactly like Guitar Hero.
Really?
What? Here's Gangstar.
I thought you were going to say Batman Arkham Asylum. What is this, Gangstar?
That, yeah.
Wow, yeah, that's like GTA 3, basically. Or like San Andreas.
Yeah, it's San Andreas.
Yeah.
I mean, the Guitar Hero thing is ridiculous.
Guitar Rock Hero.
There's a Dungeon Hunter, which is Diablo.
Does it actually look like Diablo? Because actually not very many things look like Diablo.
It does in terms of mostly the UI stuff. I mean, the actual game is not exactly Diablo, obviously, because you're not going to be... Well, I guess you could sort of fake Diablo by clicking on guys, but here, I'll load it up really quickly, but...
Yeah, it was a pretty ballsy move, the Halo thing. That's... Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
it's
this is the Halo 3 blatant. Style, yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, so they're going for it.
Yeah. Well, the Guitar Hero one is spot on Guitar Hero. I mean, it's
well, that
it's insane.
That one might be the most forgivable of these, because I mean,
I suppose, yeah.
You know, you've already got Rock Band and Guitar Hero being the same thing, essentially. Well, they're different.
But, I mean, I'm talking just like from
one
a
of them's got
standpoint.
All the crazy tube amp lights all over the place and stuff, and now and one of them is good.
Yeah.
But,
and Kurt Cobain's corpse.
God, I was actually kind of because I really wasn't paying very close attention to the Kurt Cobain stuff, and I was kind of wondering why people were getting so bent out of shape about it, because I assumed it was like the Beatles, where he's just in there playing Nirvana songs, and it had been kind of cleared.
Nope,
and
he
it was
raps.
Like, nope, yeah, he's who does whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah,
you can have Kurt Cobain going, yeah, boy,
yeah,
next to a skeleton playing the drums and a cartoon character made out of your Xbox avatar.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yep.
Are you serious?
You can also have Johnny
Activision?
Cash do that.
Sorry,
as well.
It's like
Jesus.
Oh, it's like a weird version of the future of Japan. Sorry, like in a movie when you go to like 2055 and then weird CG Kurt Cobain and Johnny Cash and a skeleton offer you a Pepsi or something.
In a karaoke bar.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, it was,
but
ghoulish.
It's real now.
It was
and
weird to watch.
They're taking the fun out of.
Yeah, well, no, I mean that video. Someone captured a video that is what I'm describing, and it really resonated pretty well with that Bobby Kotick thing. It really was the absolute epitome of just at market everything, like turn everything into a commodity, all just on one screen.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You've got like dead rock star, you've got like hip rap song or whatever, you've got crazy all about you personalized character cartoon face, you've got crazy like hardcore skeleton avatar guy. It was the most like crass thing I've seen in a video game in quite a while. And obviously, you know, it's up to the player to put all those elements in the game, but there's just offering a platform that those are the things that are offered all at the same time. I don't know. It was weird. It was a weird thing to see on a screen.
It's like buying Second Life at Walmart.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, exactly. Getting a little taste of that kind of, like,
lunacy.
Sounds
nice. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. What?
Yeah.
But without any 9,000 behind penises. Second Life.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
If it also had 9,000 penises and you could just get a dragon costume and put it on a penis and then fly it to some private island.
Five, yeah. Of taking the
right.
Fun.
Oh, man, when is Guitar Hero going to go open world?
It probably will.
Yeah, I'm
you
sure.
You probably will be a,
get
like,
your bus and budding, drive to the venue!
A budding rock star who meets Tony Hawk, and he has you, you know, perform a sweet gig at the skateboard.
Your budding rock star, like, Kurt Cobain, Skeleton Cash.
Yeah.
God. Oh, man. Sorry, the idea of grabbing a...
Give it 2 years or so.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I think a Guitar Hero MMO was mentioned at some point.
I'm sure. Yeah, along with Guitar Villain and fucking Keyboard Hero and...
Yeah.
Yeah. World of Guitars.
Sort of drum God. Bureaucrat.
But I'd play that game.
Gameloft will beat them to the punch, though, with...
yeah, no. Guitar
World,
yeah. Rock
World
Hero.
Of Guitar Rock Hero.
On the iPhone.
Right.
God, what a ridiculous platform to put stuff like that. Anyway.
Yeah. Reader Mail.
Let's move right along to that. Let's take a break first.
Breaking. It's time for classic reader mail.
Yeah, yeah. God.
All right. And this person says, I don't want to.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
It's too long. I don't fuck this.
If I fucking sow that field, it's mine to reap.
Yeah,
so. All right. Okay. Time for reader mail. Here we go.
From you, the readers.
What?
From you, the readers.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. So Shane, forum user Snappity, writes...
sorry, I thought, is that his name? Shane, quote, forum user Snappity?
That's probably his name. Nick Stradamus, he writes. He says, hey guys, I was listening to the War of the Broses episode. That's, by the way, this is a really self-indulgent thing to say, but I think War of the Broses is our best episode title ever. I think that was Jake.
You're welcome.
So good job with that one. All right. So he says, hey guys, I was listening to the War of the Broses episode, and I was shocked to hear an accidental prediction that has since come true. At the 1 hour, 23 minute, 20 second mark, Nick is talking about sports games and how they don't change much every year, and he compares that to having a new Left 4 Dead game released a year later with a new character roster. How crazy would that be?
Oh, shit.
Anyway, I just thought Nick's unintentional look in the future was amusing and scary. Shane. We apparently call everything that happens in the game industry.
That might be a little bit too extreme, but
well,
sometimes we joke about how ludicrous something would be, and then it's
and then
real.
It actually right. happens, yeah.
Like that one time when there was a Tony Hawk skateboard controller.
Yeah.
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 Anyway, yeah, we've got our fingers crossed for a Guitar Hero open world game.
Yep.
It's true.
Two.
It's two. It's two, yeah. Let's see what else we have here. Oh, man, it's Mark Roberts writes to say, dear Thumbs, first off, sorry about my Jake-centric last email.
I was
scaring the shit out of Jake.
Yeah, that wasn't.
You'll
that
have
was...
to forgive my dry British humor. It displeased you with a depth that surprised me. All right, so he says, anyway, video
games. I liked it.
Yeah, anyway, video games. I use the UK's equivalent of Netflix, and I've been thinking about upgrading so I can rent console games for the obvious cost savings and convenience. I was wondering if you guys have any thoughts on rentals. Do you ever rent games, or do you prefer to have something you can keep forever? Are rentals in general a good way to get casual gamers interested, or are they useful revenue and a useful extra revenue stream for the industry, or do they kill it? Also, industry interested to hear your thoughts. Man, I can't read. Mark, P.S. What size clothes does Jake wear? So I'll forward this on to you and you can reply to him in detail.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of rentals, but I understand, you know, why people like them.
I don't know how rentals work financially. I kind of doubt that they're anything other than just a bot game, but I mean, maybe there is a,
no, publishers don't get anything from them.
Yeah.
Not in the United States.
I mean,
anyway.
I remember when the home video market first started, there were things like Blockbuster has to buy the video from the studio, like the rental version for hundreds of dollars or whatever, but I don't think games
that
have that.
Here.
Yeah.
No, yeah,
the games industry is not together enough for that to be a stipulation.
No.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Well, it does. I mean, renting a game from a publisher does, what, create a demand for a future game from that publisher might overall influence
theoretically
the buying of further games from that publisher.
But. I'm not that into the game rental thing. I've tried it for a little while, and it just made me annoyed that I wasn't owning any of these games. But
I used to rent games as a child.
You,
all the time.
You, though, love Gamefly.
Right, yes. No, I think everybody should rent games.
Sorry to put you on the spot there, Nick.
Right.
But
Yeah, I never rented games as a kid, so I it's actually one thing I just never.
Oh, I always rented games as a kid, but
I never did.
As a person with an income at this point, I just sort of buy the games that I want to play.
Right.
Also, I'm a lot more picky about what games I even bother to play at this point. So, yeah. Whereas when I was younger, I always wanted to
play anything.
I used to rent systems as a kid.
Sample the shit out of stuff. But at this point, when I hear someone say, "Oh, it's probably a rental," that means I almost always end up just either looking for a second opinion or don't play it. Yeah.
There were very few. There was a time a long time ago when you could rent PC games, and I remember doing that once or twice.
Really?
Well, it was a long time. I mean,
where?
Like from just like local places, okay, yeah. You could just rent the diskettes and
wow, I never experienced that.
Yeah, they definitely existed at local places, and I did that once or twice, but it was kind of a pain.
Yeah,
you
have to install it, like having a boot disk.
I mean, you know,
I used to rent systems occasionally when I like,
yeah, I remember
if there was like I didn't have a Genesis, so like maybe you know. Every year, I might rent a Genesis and play a couple of games.
Yeah, I remember before we had a Super Nintendo, it was always a big deal because my parents would have to put down the deposit on renting the system.
That's the first time I played a Super Nintendo. I rented it because
Mario World, amazing!
Fucking yeah, Mario World. I played Mario World as a rental and then convinced my parents to buy it for me for Christmas, but it came out before Christmas and I was like, I can't wait to play this. I'm just going to rent it. and yeah, that's how I played Mario World.
Sweet.
One of the last
and a PlayStation
games,
as well.
One of the last games I actually rented, I think, was Yoshi's Island, right at the end of the life of the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
And I think I remember renting it because the rental place also had the like Nintendo of America promotional video about it that you got
man,
for renting it.
Those things were amazing.
So yeah. I was more excited about that maybe than Yoshi's Island. And then also
the rental
Yoshi's
place
Dom
was always
good.
That place where you could walk in and there would be games to play. Like Blockbuster would always
right,
be.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, games to play and you could see what's going on, what's happening. I guess that place is GameStop now.
Or Game Crazy.
Yes. Yeah.
Game Crazy, I like that store, actually.
Yeah, I don't know if they're still good. I haven't been there in a while because there isn't one near here, but...
Yeah, I remember when Game Crazy first opened up inside all the Hollywood videos. It was like, oh, a retail chain that isn't shit, and that...
Well, they were cool. They would carry stuff all the way back to the original NES.
Yeah. I think they still have a lot of older stuff on the... under the glass counters. Yeah. Yeah. But it made it feel like a real game store.
Yeah.
Also, I sort of got the feeling that was just... Like Hollywood Video is fun. Like, God, we've been warehousing all these never sold rentals.
Right.
I'd always sort of assumed that was what that shelf
was.
Yeah,
I mean, that probably originally is where that spawned, but then they, you know, you could sell that stuff to them too. Yeah. It was cool for me because I never, you know, I never owned any of those consoles. And so I thought it was really rad to go. Like, I actually bought like a Dreamcast from Game Crazy.
Yeah, I bought a Dreamcast like, as well.
Like one of the old top-loading NESs.
I bought a Genesis 3, I think.
I did,
from
too.
Him.
I bought a Genesis 3, and it didn't work, actually, which sucked.
Burn.
There was this game called King Arthur's... Oh, fuck. Was it King Arthur's Castle something? Oh, fuck. I'm fucking this all up. But it was a really good game. It was this sort of side-scrolling strategy game, kind of like Lemmings, but with wizards.
Go on.
Yeah, no, it's really good. Oh man, I wish I could think of the actual name. I'm gonna look this up while Chris reads the next email. But yeah, no, I liked rental stuff.
Is it Toys R Us that said just now that they'll take used
yes,
games
they will.
All the way back to like the
all
ColecoVision?
All the way Atari.
Okay.
Atari, what? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Toys R Us now takes used games, but they'll take them all the way back to when Toys R Us started selling video games,
yeah, it's
apparently.
Amazing. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yep. I sort of assume that their strategy with that is that they'll just vacuum up huge amounts of games that they can eBay and occasionally nab a collector's game off an idiot. Because otherwise, I can't imagine that being commercially viable.
Yeah.
To just like, oh, please give us your 800th copy of the Atari 2600 Pac-Man.
Yeah.
That no one wants.
Right.
But, yeah, they'll just take... I don't know. I actually... That... They also probably just did it so that people like me would talk about it. Because I remember, you know, when... Sort of, I first became aware of video game consoles. It was seeing an Atari 2600 going to Toys R Us with my grandparents. And like Toys R Us was just what was associated in my brain with the place where video games come from for a really
right.
long time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Especially of that, like, of the rainbow wood grain era of video games.
Yeah.
King
Pretty
Arthur's
classic
World.
Era. Man, someone made a really cool... Some company has actually released King Arthur's World.
This game is actually amazing. People should look this game up and play it. It is still...
Really?
I know for a fact, like, this is not nostalgia at all. It is an amazing game. It's really good. Argonaut Games made this.
What systems?
Super Nintendo, I think, only. Yeah. Yeah, it's SNES. 4 megabit cartridge.
Sweet.
Oh,
it's really good. It's really good.
I won't go on and on, but
it's like 409.
It's an excellent strategy game.
Yeah.
Do we have an actual answer for this guy that isn't from our childhood? I think.
Do you still rent games? Is that the question?
Or I think. I guess I mean, he's what do you about, think about like, rentals
about,
generally?
About like, yeah, I don't know. If you want to use them, use them.
Yeah.
I generally buy games because I like to have them, and it's getting increasingly rare as time goes on, but I just like having the library of games that I have liked that I can go back to, and I don't like rentals for the reason that I can't go back to a game that I actually enjoyed without having to then buy it on top of whatever I'm paying a month for a rental service. But
yeah.
I don't have an ideological problem with them, even though I probably should, I guess.
I kind of do. It's not one that I like get all crazy about or anything, but I sort of for the same reason I never buy used games. Well, I would buy a used game for something like, for example, an NES or whatever, obviously. I mean, something that's not actually current, I have no compunction about that. But a sort of current stuff, I never buy used, and I don't really rent, just because I have that kind of thing about...
I used to be more curmudgeonly about that, but I feel at
voting
this point, like...
Nonsense.
If you're going to buy a game, you're going to buy a game. If you're not going to buy a game, not offering a rental service probably isn't going to make that many more people buy a game. So rent a goddamn game.
Yeah.
Were you addressing that to the people who run the rental
no,
services?
No, just the world. I mean, there are people who are just super opposed to rentals because it is, you know, taking food out of the mouths of the games industry because a rental service is having 300 people play this game that would have otherwise had to all buy it for $60 instead of paying their $20 Gamefly subscription.
But would all of those people actually
it's similar to the piracy argument. And it's just, you know, it sucks for a lot of reasons, but I don't think that reality is going to change that. And also it's a lot less damaging than the piracy thing for me, because at least these people are paying someone for a service in some capacity. But
I guess the thing about that to me is that people get into a mentality of, well, if this is a single player game, I'm just going to rent it. And I hate the idea that the games people think are worth actually buying are just the multiplayer ones or the MMOs
or the
ones that last forever.
As the future appears, that will not become the case anymore anyway, because you'll buy a game digitally.
Yes.
And if a rental service exists digitally, it will exist almost guaranteed in a way where you get some sort of kickback from it as a developer.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we'll see.
I think
it'll take a while on the console side, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but that model is starting to show up now on Amazon and iTunes with video content, where you can buy it. You can buy something from Amazon on demand, Amazon on demand, whatever it is, Unbox,
for
$8, or you can rent it for $2.95, and then you can only keep it for X number of days.
Right.
X number of viewings. You can only beat a Final Fantasy game 3 times under the rental agreement. Mixed answer, I guess.
Yeah.
And a really long one about a thousand
super
things.
Long
anyway,
one, yeah.
Toys R Us. Woo!
Yeah, hooray for them.
King Arthur's world.
All right. So Craig Ostrin writes, "Hi, Thumbs. This is a question I didn't get to ask at the story and gaming panel at PAX. Game characters have a very limited range of actions. The Master Chief can't sprint, he can't wrestle a gun out of an enemy's hands, and he can't use two fingers to slide shut a dead soldier's eyes. In a Halo movie, he'd do all these things, but in a game, he's limited to the actions defined by his control scheme. So my question is, narrowly defined control schemes limit the stories we can tell in games, and are contextual controls the future, e.g. Heavy Rain or any point-and-click adventure game? Thanks, love the show. Craig, P.S. I missed the Idle Thumbs meetup because my World of Warcraft guildie was moderating a panel at the same time. Oh, well, maybe next year. Maybe next year, indeed. It's an interesting question. I think that certainly within a certain... I think within certain kinds of games, definitely action games, one of them, I do think that does, in a lot of cases, limit the storytelling potential. It sort of does guarantee that as the actual player and as the character in the world, when you're actually in control of your character and when you're actually moving around the world, it does mean that what you're doing an overwhelmingly dominant amount of the time is, you know, fighting a guy or doing the action stuff or running around or whatever. Most stories, regardless of medium, even action stories, would never... You know, they'd have much higher variety of things going on.
In action games like that, I feel like it's just... They either need to be willing to let go a little bit of being... Sorry, I'm going to be a douche.
Level 1 of action. Level 2 of action.
Yeah, they need to... Action games, like... I know you've talked about the Halo cutscenes before of just pissing you the fuck off when they show up. But, like, you either need to not make Doom... You need to let go of a little bit of that. And
In what sense?
But it's all straight action.
Yeah, I mean, just, I think people...
Oh,
just,
you mean like Half-Life or
I think
something?
Just...
Like two?
I mean, just, yeah, I think the sort of the belief as a game designer of a game like that is just, there are things that you cannot do in that genre of game, just as a rule, like you'd be an idiot to do it. I mean, it's like, it's sort of almost, well, I...
No, I agree with you.
There are some games that do branch out a little bit more. And are willing to not be as, you know, as pure, I guess. Mm-hmm. But then they're not as pure.
What do you mean when you say let go of Doom? Do you mean...
I mean...
Because it sounds like you're saying move closer to Doom.
No. I'm saying if...
What Jake
either,
is saying
either,
is
either,
add
if,
something
if you're,
other
if you're
than
trying,
action.
If you're trying to do that, just do it. Don't put a fucking story in your game.
Uh-huh.
Or if you're going to put a story in your game... You can't put a story in your game and then also say,
No,
I can't put anything actually mechanic-wise in my game that would make it anything other than a balls to the wall, blow up 1,000 guys. And I feel like that's actually kind of an attitude that game designers have. When you listen to people who make super high-profile extreme action games, when you listen to like Cliffy B talk about Gears of War, like fuck that. He's never going to do anything that actually is worthwhile.
Well,
and it's,
I think it's part of it is what you were saying before, that some of these games though are made for a specific audience. They and made by a specific group of developers that may not necessarily care about that kind of thing.
But then Cliffy B does still expect you to care about Dom's wife.
Right, but you know, I mean, he shouldn't.
Right, but
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I mean.
It's right.
I think it's slightly presumptuous and sort of bullshit.
Yeah.
Like we're not investing in this in any way other than a cinematic director in a mocap studio.
Mass Effect, please
give a shit about this. Well, Mass Effect has a dialogue system.
Yes, it does. Yes, but it also has a lot of action as well, and it's fairly traditional action. So I don't know.
I mean,
I think isn't that an example of a game that's maybe pushing that?
I think sort of modern cinematic RPGs do a decent job of that, just because they. As part of the RPG genre, like you can make a hardcore RPG and people expect there to be dialogue. People expect there to be sort of character to item unique interactions. And they also expect there to be action and combat.
Right.
Whereas like if you're making a first person or third person action derivative, it's no one expects that stuff. So it always is just bullshitted in unless someone is changing all the rules.
Yeah.
In which case, everyone poo-poos their game.
Yeah.
Right.
I guess, you know, maybe part of this also is that even in a game like Mass Effect, the action segment and the RPG segments are fairly separated.
Yeah,
there's never
completely
there
separated,
is not
yeah.
much. Yeah, I mean,
you
they
can
are,
never shoot the friendly NPC.
Right. There are games though that do allow you to
Fallout
sort of do that.
And so
Fallout,
on, yeah.
And that stuff is cool. And that
yeah,
is
I
kind
agree.
Of what he's talking about, I guess. Where you know.
Well, he also is talking about Heavy Rain and adventure games.
Right,
well,
yeah.
Because
which
Heavy Rain is entirely context sensitive. It's,
yeah.
We need this to happen in the story now, so we're going to give you a button that right at this moment lets you do that.
I personally like that less even than when the game...
I do too.
I like it the least, yeah.
Yes. Or it's just... Then, I mean, you're right. Now I, as the player, can put my two fingers over the soldier's eyes, but... The only reason that I can do that is because what's that guy's name? David whatever.
David Cage.
Yeah, because David Cage
actually
is sitting
David
there saying,
the Frenchman,
now the player will have the option to put their fingers over the soldier's
it's interactive,
eyes.
Because you can do it,
but then
or
it's
you
like,
can't.
Or you do nothing.
Or you do nothing. Yeah.
And it's like, well, can I put my fingers over everyone's eyes? No. Like it's so the opposite of anything systemized. And
right.
Yeah.
I mean. This is something we were talking about earlier, and I over the last few minutes, I've changed my tune slightly. What? No, but just systemizing everything obviously is not realistic.
No.
But I do think that as this is now just I feel like a bullshitting bullshitter, but I think as time goes on and as
the best kind.
As more sort of just. As just sort of a language exists for how various things like that can be systemized well, I think that it will probably become easier to drop more mechanics into your game that people can understand.
I mean, I do think...
And they'll be mixed better, but
and
that's off in Tomorrowland somewhere, I guess.
That will add to the storytelling, so I guess...
Yeah, well, I mean, I do think stuff like, you know, Mass Effect and games like that are a good signpost in that I think that, you know, once you start... You look at stuff like Fallout, and there is a lot of blending there between the sort of action systems and the sort of more role-playing systems, so to speak. I mean, they are getting closer together. Not that that's new with Fallout. I mean, that's been Fallout 1 does a lot of that stuff. I mean, you know, it was 10 years ago.
Not that it's new to Fallout, but Fallout.
But you know what I mean. The whole that's sort of been part of the goal of Western RPGs for quite a long time, really. I think if, you know, personally, I think it'd be great if people start expecting more and more of that out of those games and people start caring about it less and less in the action games. Because if I could just play my really good Halo game where I don't need to care about the magic talking plant that interrupt that slows my character down every 30 seconds for no goddamn reason and makes the game harder for me to play arbitrarily, if people get their fill of that stuff in those other games and then let the action games be action games, I would pretty much be fine with that.
I also do think that if the sort of Fallout style stuff ends up catching on and working itself out and maturing, you could end up seeing that stuff showing up more in more organic ways in action games.
Probably true.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think right now people still, I just aren't willing to think about it. And I don't even mean that from a business side. I think that just, designers of those games aren't interested in it, but
it also does add layers of difficulty and complexity, just even from a conceptual standpoint.
I mean, it's just story and action games is there right now because it's cheap.
Yeah, it's kind of window dressing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny, too, because it's actually really expensive in a lot of cases, you know, just financially, but I don't know really what the return on that is. Like, I mean, I guess people get into it. Some people really like it, but
it does give you a reason to care if you want one.
Yeah,
that's true. And it gives you a world to be excited about if you want one.
Yep, I just wish those reasons were
it's like an interactive
more compelling
film.
Or, you know, the world's more interesting, I suppose. But what can you do? You can play more video games.
Read.
Yeah. let's see here. Zombie Hunter, or Rorschach. Wow, this guy's... Oh, no, Tom. Sorry.
What?
Wow.
By many names.
Yeah, a.k.a.
When are you jerks going to admit that Jake and Nick are actually the same person? Either Jake is Nick's doppelganger or Nick is Jake's doppelganger.
What?
All right. The only way you're going to... Oh, God. The only way you're going to prove to us, your listeners, that they are indeed two separate and unique individuals is by having a baboo off. You know what we're talking about.
I was actually about to do 1, 2, 3. Did you know I was going to say baboo?
Yeah, I knew that was
it. Why didn't I do it? We were the same
person. We
were
over here going 1, 2, 3, what? And then I did 1, 2, and I was going to... Yeah. I was hoping that you would say baboo, and you were.
Yeah.
Fuck. Anyway, 1, 2, 3, baboo.
Yeah, baboo.
God.
Baboo.
All right. I don't know who won that one. We can let the readers decide.
I won. Nick Brecken.
Yeah. Oh. Didn't you do the interface? And oh, man. Speaking of which, weird. All right. So, Scott.
Nick, I hear you did some work on Monkey Island.
Scott from Ontario, Canada writes, upon completing the second chapter of Tales of Monkey Island in one sitting, I was reading the credits until one Jake Rodkin showed up. I knew Mr. Rodkin would be in the credits, however, did not know that instead of hearing my own voice in my head, I would instead get, "And I'm Jake Rodkin," a la his normal Idle Thumbs intro in Mr. Rodkin's voice in my head. I found this to be highly amusing and quite humorous, definitely the high point of the game. Pause for laughter/tears from Rodkin. Great show. Keep up the horribly off-topic work because, well, and he says some nice things about us for a while. I got P.S. I know the email subject says question, and all I gave was an asshole statement, but don't blame me. It's terrorism and the economy's fault. Then he says some other things.
Classic email.
Yeah.
That's what you get for
that. Was a good. Yeah.
Yep. Sorry. Let's see here.
Thanks, Ontario guy.
You're welcome.
For breaking my spirit.
So, video game fears. Oh, man. Here's an unreasonable fear that someone has for us.
I was playing Zuma's Revenge.
Yeah, right. Let's see here. Fred Zelny writes, "Hey, Thumbs, you asked about unreasonable fears in video games, and while this isn't nearly as unreasonable as the Hidden Pictures fear, it's more than a little embarrassing. When I was a kid, I was on a class field trip to the Smithsonian, and we went to the insect display. The cheerful guide explained that bugs are our friends and not scary at all. And to prove it, she took the tarantula out of its pen and showed how docile it was. Then the hairy bastard leapt at me. While I've been able to forgive my insect friends for the event, I still have a bit of arachnophobia when it comes to things leaping at my face. This comes up more often than you might think in video games, particularly first-person games that like sudden surprises, and it can make certain games almost unplayable for me, including a few really great classics." Yeah, really. Aliens vs. Predator, as you might expect, is right out, unless I'm playing as the alien. This is okay, since the alien sections are the most fun. But the first time I played as a Marine and got a screen full of multi-legged face-hugging, I nearly broke my chair diving backwards. The worst part, though, is that it makes Half-Life 2 and its sequels an exercise in pure terror for me. Obviously, I love the game, but every single time, the following occurs. One, I make some progress, getting more and more drawn in by charm and gameplay, while some cruel god of terror waits and chuckles to itself, rubbing its claws together with glee. Two, I lose myself in the game, focusing only on the screen. Three, scuttling sound. There's a headcrab somewhere nearby. Four, oh god, kill it. Use all the shotgun ammo. Do I have a flamethrower? Throw grenades everywhere. Sweet god, make it die before it jumps. Five, I'm out of ammo and down to a fraction of my health from my own grenade explosions, but I'm pretty sure I got, oh fuck, oh fuck, oh fuck, it's on my face. Six, alt F4, go make some tea and have some quiet time, fix my chair. The worst part is the game is so good, I keep trying to go back and make progress on it, but I only make about 10 minutes progress before I have to quit again for a few days. I haven't even touched the episodes, but at least this means I'm not stuck waiting for the next one. Thanks for that, tarantula jerk. At this point, I'm thinking of going into Source and replacing the headcrab models with bouncy balls or fluffy bunnies or something with fewer legs. Maybe a bitmap of Jake Rodkin's face.
What is going on?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I hope you're amused by my fears. At the very least, I hope you don't make fun of me for the only person on Earth who hasn't played Half-Life 2 Episode 2. Keep casting your awesome pods and idling your thumbs, but stop thumbing your idols, at least not on air. Fred Zeleny.
Sadly, he is not the only person on Earth who has not played the Half-Life episodes.
Yep, it's true. Oh, well. All right, we got a crazy video game idea that Nick forwarded over here.
From legally, someone. We cannot accept video game ideas.
this is bizarre. Someone has a sweet idea for a firefighter game.
Guitar Rock Band.
I guess I'm just going to read it. Here we go.
Yeah.
I have this cool video game idea. How about a three-person firefighter game where you're a young rookie firefighter looking to someday move up in rank?
I love that it's three-person, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Specifically. Yeah, right. Well, this game would have a campaign and a free roam. Free roam meaning you pick, then game, and you get to pick from a choice of different locations, from busy to not so busy. In free roam, you'd be able to pick if you're a rookie, captain, battalion chief. So for rookie, you could pick the driver, nozzle man, or hydrant man, all in charge of different jobs. The captain who just throws order around and does some work. Like call in additional units. In-game example. Dispatch, this is Task Force 27. Request for, parentheses, how many you ever think you need, be it 1, 2, 3, or more. Additional task force, which includes two engines and a ladder truck. You could even call in an ambulance for injured people or even your own crew. The idea is to make it as real as possible. When you're not on a call, you're in the fire station, resupplying your truck or engine or ambulance or whatever you choose to be assigned to, and you're doing housework like cooking to gain more health for your character, or working out to buff up your guy. Also, perfecting your skills, like practicing hose drills, perfecting your sawing skills, or climbing up ladders and onto a roof. You could also sleep... I like that you practice climbing up ladders.
Yeah.
You could also sleep in the dorms and gain more energy by sleeping or napping. Then on random moments, just like real life, you get a call. Anywhere from difficult breathing to heart attack, or an auto car auto fire, or a full out structure fire. So you could be training your guy and have to stop in the moment and pick up later when you return. All practice and workout sessions would be held in the side or courtyard area. Example, engine 5, structure fire. And on your mini-map, an arrow appears showing you where to drive the engine or ambulance or truck, also listing the cross streets. The call could be like real life, anywhere from 1 mile to 15 miles, depending on if another station's on a call as well. Therefore, you may have to cover their area if you're the next closest unit. So just like real life, you could also get a call to assist another station with their call, be it a fire or a trauma or a medical call. So back to my example, you get your guy, you run inside the station to a dispatch box, hit the button on it, call a callback, letting the dispatch know you got the call and are heading out. Or simply just get into your assigned vehicle and use the radio to talk to your dispatcher. If you're the driver, you turn on or off your light, use a bullhorn, and the sirens are all optional. Once at the call site, if it's a fire, you need to suit up at the station before you leave. Once you get to the call site, you have to suit up before you leave. If it's a medical call, you go grab the first box or trauma box off your ambulance or engine. Just like real life, the emergency could get worse or better. Your call could be a shortness of breath and end up being a stabbing to the lung. Shortness of breath was the call, but anything is possible once you get there. Anyway, you handle your call and you return to the station by driving all the way back. Like real life, you could get another call in the process and another after that. My idea of this game is to make it as real as possible. I think it would be cool. Have all kinds of call, brush fire, structure fire, medical call, trauma call, car crashes with people stuck, shooting, stabbing, drunk crazy guy, anything, just like real life. Once you pick up a patient, you take him to the hospital. So if you're assigned to an engine, you stay on the engine while the computer player is the paramedic and takes the person to the hospital. So you'd get on the engine or truck as a driver or passenger, but remember, the captain, who's a rank higher than regular firefighters, always rides shotgun. Anyway, this is my game idea. Hopefully someone sees this and it's a company like the ones that make third-person action games like GTA or Sims or Mafia 1 or Mafia 2. They know what I'm talking about and hopefully get the image or what I'm trying to make this game like. If that made it into the podcast...
I'm going to say a couple things, actually.
Go ahead.
One, I would actually totally fucking play that game. Fuck both of you guys. That actually sounds really fun, or like it could be fun.
Yeah.
So, F you guys. That guy agrees with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, to make a good firefighting game, you would have to have the most amazing renderer in the entire world, because it's nothing but...
like crazy fire.
It's nothing but fire and water colliding with each other.
Well, and difficult breathing and wind collapses.
Firefighter.
Yeah. So this should just be a Far Cry 2 mod.
Yeah.
You're a firefighter in Africa. There's some crazy mercenary running around, lighting everything on fire everywhere, constantly throwing grenades. You're playing in the same world as a Far Cry 2 player.
Also, this game, you can put your two fingers over a dude's eyes.
Oh, man, you totally
sorry,
could.
Sorry, the game described by this guy is the game that the other email guy wants.
That's
where
true.
There's 800 million different interactions all over the goddamn place. There's suspense. You're putting out a fire, or maybe it's a guy who's just breathing heavily.
Or sometimes you're just making meatloaf.
Sometimes.
So you got to practice climbing up a ladder.
To hit with the Cooking Mama audience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd play it.
Yeah.
I'd
rent it.
Wow. So there you go.
Fire guy.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that's what it's called.
No.
Oh, man. Someone else has a frightening experience.
This is going to be
these are all
one.
Really long. Yeah, I'm not going to.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I'll come back
shit.
To it.
We are frightened by your email.
Yeah. No, we've done a lot of long emails. Let's see. Someone, this is pretty funny. Dear Thumbs, a while ago you were talking about Batman. Attached to this email is something about Batman I picked up on the internet somewhere that you might like to read. Also, you guys are awesome, Desiro. So this guy sent us some kind of like trading card or something. It says Batman Begins. I guess I'll just read it. This is from another country, I guess. Batman Begins.
When being a child, Bruce Wayne had witnessed with his own eyes the fact his parents of millionaire were killed cruelly. So affected his strong desire of revenging his parents. However, God had never given him a chance to fulfill his will. Following the advice of Ra's al Ghul, the chief of Ninja Group, Bruce comes to Geet, which was a corrupted city filled with various crime groups. Bruce found a basement under his villa in which the equipments turned him into another person. Spider-Man. With this mask, Spider-Man stroke all criminal activities and criminals everywhere. Such as Torgon, the chief of mafia. Dr. Jack. Dr. Jack Straw. Dr. Jack Straw, the abnormal drug trafficker.
Oh my god.
Even a mysterious opponent's quite familiar with him. 2006, Batman Begins.
From Gameloft.
So, I don't really. I have no idea what this is.
Spider-Man.
We're retarded.
God. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, so that was read a mail.
Yeah. Are we done, I guess?
See you in like 4 days.
Oh, man. We haven't done Wizard On in a while.
Oh yeah. So,
speaking of wizards,
you should write us an email at questions@idlethumbs.net, or you should call us on a telephone to the Idle Thumbs voicemail hotline, 55 Wizard On. That is a phone number.
Right.
Yep.
And
yeah, we don't. None of these are linked on the front page anymore. So
I removed
they are.
The website From itself, so you can't actually contact us from it. You can read a blog that you can't comment on at the moment.
Yeah, basically we're turning this into just a, right. You know, podcasts are already the most one-way form of communication.
Yeah, exactly. We're trying to replicate that experience.
We think what the internet was doing wrong was having that whole
sort of bi-directional. No. You can't contact us. Well, you can. We just don't want to tell you about it.
Right.
But yeah. Questions at idlethumbs.net. 55 wizard on at telephone.
Yeah. And we'll have comments on there eventually.
Oh, also, you can follow us on Twitter. The username is idle news.
Yep. And then we all have our own Twitter accounts that are linked from that.
Yep.
And so I guess there's a million ways you can contact us.
Idle thumbs. Video game podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you drink Werner's, look in the top left corner of a bottle.
Oh, man. Nick and I at the press event where we were at the other day, we went
the secret fourth way to contact questions out of thumbs and I, what the fuck.
It was so funny. We were getting the
is there a wizard on there?
Yeah.
Oh man,
yes there is.
Werner's is getting their wizard on, apparently.
The waitress came over and was like, "Oh, you guys want anything to drink?" And Nick got super excited. He was looking.
Can I have anything with the wizard on
Werner's,
it?
Werner's. I haven't had a Werner's in years. Yeah. He got so excited about it, and I'm like, "All right, fuck it, I'll get one of those too."
Barrel aged bold taste.
Yeah. And Nick started immediately after she left. Nick started spouting off. He's like, "Oh man, Werner's. They barrel age it for a bold taste." And I'm like, "Are you fucking serious? Like, you're just spouting this off?" He was so excited about it.
Yeah.
Werner's.
But I never had it in a bottle, and there's a surprise.
Yeah, there
the
is a small wizard, Werner.
Yeah,
he's Werner the wizard.
Oh, I think he's on the can Werner's as well. I think he's surrounded by the phrase barrel aged bold taste in fact.
Yeah.
Sort of like a winking wizard man, possibly.
Maybe.
Like a robot eye.
God, I don't see wizards in now I'm seeing wizards everywhere.
We get a lot of people who
I also saw Jeff Goldblum.
Shoe Wiz. Oh my god, Shoe Wiz. Did we ever talk about this?
We've talked about it now. Downloadable content thread, Shoe Wiz.
Yeah, maybe I'll put it on the blog instead.
Blog, Shoe Wiz.
Although I guess no one can comment on it there.
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
Shoe Wiz.
Jake and I found a shoe store called Shoe Wiz.
We're still talking about this.
Alright, alright.
Find out at idlethumbs.net/shoewiz. Don't go to that, actually. Just go to the front page.
Okay. Alright. Bye.
She whiz.
Video game.
This is the Idle News Gold Blast for September 18th, 2009. And I'm Chris Remo.
I'm Nick Precken.
And I'm Jake Rodkin.
All right. Yeah. So we were at an Activision press event this week. We talked about this on the cast.
Yeah. You may remember.
On the way back, Nick almost missed his flight.
Yeah. I was in danger of missing my flight.
And then I got a text from you saying, "I'm standing behind Jeff Goldblum."
I was.
What happened with that?
Well, I actually have no idea. Yeah, well, I was standing in this huge line,
and Jeff Goldblum was there.
Well, and I noticed other people sort of, cutting the line.
Jeff Goldblum. Oh, Jeff Goldblum cut in front of you.
Yeah. And
what?
I was like, who
That's
are these
chaos
people
theory.
Cutting in line? And one of them was Jeff Goldblum. And
they were just
but he managed
they weren't
to
even
cut
in like the priority line. They were just straight
no, they
up.
Were just yeah. He was just getting pushed through.
Wow, lame.
Yeah, it was kind of lame. And then, but I was, you know, maybe.
But it's okay. You took a bunch of pictures of him.
Yeah, I did. I was standing in line at security. He has this. He had this like assistant guy. Who was weird because it wasn't like a 20-something in a black suit. It was just a dude that was standing next to him. And so he gets up to the security tubs, and this guy is basically undressing Jeff Goldblum.
I just pictured a security guard named Tubbs right there.
Call me security Tubbs.
Oh, security Tubbs. Anyway,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so I was
the guy
like,
next to security Tubbs.
Yeah.
So
security Tubbs was handing out containers, plastic containers.
Yeah, he was. He was taking the plastic containers. He was putting them there. Goldblum's on his phone. I'm one person away from Jeff Goldblum at this moment.
Did you touch
him? He was on the phone, and the guy was removing his belt for him and putting it in the tub, and you know sorting everything. You know, Goldblum is still on the phone.
Did he like walk through the thing, and then as he was walking through, pass his phone around, and the guy like held it on the
right,
outside
tub,
of
him.
The
right.
of the scanner so that he could keep talking while walking through his security line?
He didn't do that, but there was a problem with his shoes. So he didn't
remove them. He had phones
them.
In them.
He didn't remove them properly from the tub. The assistant failed in his job. So Jeff goes through, and then the shoes have to come back out and placed back on the thing. And so at that point, the guy in front of me turns around and says, "We could totally steal Jeff Goldblum's shoes."
Just some random guy?
Yeah, just, yeah. I thought I was the only person who saw Jeff Goldblum. Nobody was making a big deal out of this. I was like, holy shit, it's Jeff Goldblum.
Are you like a fan of Jeff Goldblum
or something?
Yeah,
I fucking love Jeff Goldblum.
Wait, really? For real?
Yeah, no, it's fucking
I find
Jeff
that
Goldblum.
Guy obnoxious.
You are the director and creator of great stuff. Did you tell him that?
No, I was too afraid. Wait, I just took lots
Who's
of pictures of him on my iPhone.
Who's a fan of Jeff Goldblum? What is there to be a fan of?
His appearances on late night television.
What? Really?
Yeah, he's so bizarre. He's the weirdest guy. Have you ever
seen
him?
Is he more bizarre than Norm MacDonald?
Yeah, but he's not as funny, so that's why he's more bizarre.
Oh, I see.
Norm MacDonald's actually, you know, he has a thing going. Jeff Goldblum's just weird.
Okay, well, I'll have to look some of this up on YouTube.
So, anyway, did you take his shoe?
No, but I did get a picture of him putting his shoes on.
Downloadable content.
I hate you. It's really blurry, though.
It's really blurry. Oh, God, I was so afraid that he was going to see me taking...
You should have just walked up to him and said, "Excuse me." This is for my Twitter page.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have other pictures that don't include him putting his shoe on that are
yeah.
Identifiably Jeff Goldblum.
I was walking, and at this point, I was giving up on Goldblum. I thought, well, I'll just let him go. We'll go our separate ways.
Giving up on Goldblum.
And then he started walking in the same direction I was going, and I was using my phone anyway.
Did you talk to him?
So you started tracking his every move?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he just kept,
so you
know,
just
taking
casually
the,
dropped
the
your
same
phone
branches.
In his pocket. "Excuse me, I believe you have my cell phone, Jeff Goldblum."
Oh, what a funny coincidence. By the way, I loved you in Jurassic Park. No. But I did.
I loved you in Jurassic Park 2.
Yeah.
When your daughter did flips on a parallel bars. I kicked the velociraptor in the face.
Yeah. Oh, man. Also, on that same trip, I went to the McDonald's at the airport to get a cup of coffee.
And
in
Jeff Goldblum's
yeah, he was working the counter. No, the one of their lines advertising their new iced coffee drinks, they are apparently cribbing from Mr. Freeze because their poster says "Ice to meet you," and I took a photograph of this to prove it's a real thing. So yeah. That's happening.
Your story is less good than stealing Jeff Goldblum's shoes.
I was looking through my pictures on my phone to play along, and I found that.
Oh, I should look at the pictures on my phone, but they're just pictures of gold game gold.
All right. So there's our story. There's Nick's story.
Yeah.
Oh man, here's a picture of an old guy on a bus with an Xbox 360.
It's picture time. On the
a guy who's just like
it's like David Lynch's on my cousin.
Nice. Yeah, it is.
It does look like David Lynch. Yeah. And he's got an Xbox 360 just out of the box, just like the actual console with no cables or anything, just the console itself, carrying it around on a bus.
The Idle News Podblast with Idle News Gold Blast.
Yeah.
With Jeff Gold Blast. With Jeff Gold Game.
What? Jeff Gone Gold.
With Game Gold Blast.
Game Gold Gold.
Gold
Game
Gold
Gold.
Gold,
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 gold
Jeff
game.
Bloom.
Gold Jeff Bloom.
Gold Jeff Game.
Gold Jeff
Game. Gold. There be gold game. Jeff, Jeff got booms. Game.
That gold game.
I think his name is Jeff Got Game.
Probably. Jeff God Games. Games.
Or Jeff, Jeff God Games.
Yeah.
Jeff, her interactive.
Yeah.
Jeff Cool. From a Jesco.
So anyway, you met Jeff Cool.
Yeah, I met Jeff Cool. Yeah.
We call him J Madge.
Right.
What?
Jeff Majesco.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So I was like, "Hey, Jeff Majesco.
How's Advent Trilogy going?"
I decided to stop funding it because Orson Scott Card's a homophobe.
Yeah, now he's in the car by himself, talking to himself.
You Brad Rapsters?
What did you say? You Brad Rapsters?
that game Rap Stars.
you breed Rap Stars?
Rap Stars? Is that like a name?
No, you
Brad. I'm Brad Rap Stars.
You Brad Rap Stars.
Rapping rapper.
You Rap Scallions. Gold game gold. God. So you met this
So man. I said all of this, and then he ran away. And I was tackled by security.
Jeff Gold, blast gold, gold game, blast game, gold, cool game, Jeff game, gold game, Jeff. That would have been amazing.
He's the...
gold, gold, gold.
He's the director.
Of?
He's the great stuff.
Akiva Gold.
God, I bet he gets that a lot. People just going up and going, great stuff.
Yeah.
What is this?
All right. Let's record an introduction.
Oh, I thought that was the rolling start.
Gold blast, gold, 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 gold.
Jeff,
what the
fuck? Jeff Goldblum. Gold blast. Gold game, gold.
Cool, cool, cool game.
Just
no fucking way. People would hate that shit.